morning and happy Sabbath. Please stand as I read from Psalm 108. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Please join us as we sing, Live Out Thy Life Within Me.
Happy Sabbath to everyone. This is the part of our worship service where we get to participate by returning to God that which is His So let us take heed when he says, bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse that you may receive. I want to refer you also to the insert. It's Religious Liberty this weekend. Please keep in mind those who suffer because of holding fast to God's tenet and keeping the Sabbath. And also Liberty Magazine, which is sent out to thought leaders throughout the country, judges, elected officials, and such. So will the deacons please rise as we ask God to bless our offering. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share with you that which you have shared with us. We pray that you would take it and multiply it, bless this church, bless your people throughout the world, and give us strength. We pray in Christ's dear name.
I love reading biographies, and I've been reading the Mikhail Kulikov story recently, and hearing Millie's story today and knowing that this is Religious Liberty Sabbath, I just had to comment on the fact that as I've read that book and realizing that we come to church every Sabbath in complete freedom, while up until about 10 years ago in Russia, to share Jesus with anybody was to go to jail. And until 2002, when Mark Finley was able to go and do an evangelistic series. And one of the translators happened to mention that the hardest part for him was when he saw his parents walk in to the back of the Kremlin where they were having the evangelistic series, and knowing his parents had prayed for 70 years for that moment. And for 70 years, we haven't ever had that kind of a problem. And you may wonder if God hears your prayers, and maybe it's taking 70 years to have them answered. But God always hears your prayers, and he is working on them even as we speak. Please stand as we sing our prayer song.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace.
I got three kids, and the youngest one is four. And there are times he's a little bit of a stinker. And he brings joy to our life. But there are times when he's busy and he's playing. He wants nothing to do with hugs and kisses. And if I kiss the top of his head, he wipes it off and goes on what he's doing. And when he wants something, boy, you can bet he's all over kissing my cheek and giving me a hug. Oh, I love you, Daddy. This morning, he was awake before I woke up, and I came out of the bedroom, and he came running down the hall and gave me a big hug and told me he loved me. Didn't want anything, didn't need anything, just told me he loved me. And it really struck me this morning that I'm just like him. I'm a stinker sometimes. And there are times when God wants me to give him a hug, give him a kiss, and I say I'm too busy. And there are times when I need him, and I give him that hug. And he tells me that he loves me. And I think he knows that I love him, but he wants me to run into his arms just in the morning when I wake up and tell him I love him. And so this morning, as we have a chance to come to him and beseech him and talk to him, I invite you to come down. If you have the struggles, if you have trials, if you have needs, or if you just want to come up and give him a hug, come down while we sing the next stanza for a prayer.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see the glory on each face. Surely the presence of the
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we want to give you that big hug. We want to tell you how much we love you, not because we need something, not because things are going bad, but just because you loved us first. We thank you for that. We ask that you forgive us for neglecting you at times. We all do. We all don't spend enough time getting to know our Savior, and we ask that you forgive us for that. You help the Holy Spirit fill us so we strive to know you more and strive to behold you more. We know that by beholding you and becoming closer to you, the things of this life and the struggles that we have can be laid on your shoulders instead of us bearing them ourselves. There are many who have struggles and trials, and we ask that you be with them and give them a special measure of your grace. Our prayer list in our bulletin is as long as it's ever been. There are more and more every day who need you. And we ask for your presence. We ask for each of us to be a mission of the gospel to all those we come in contact with. We ask that you be with Pastor Brent today as he brings us a message. Send the Holy Spirit not only to speak to him, but for our hearts to be open and to receive his word and to take that word, instill it into our lives every day. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending your Son on the cross to die for us and to open up a way for us to be closer to you again. We thank you for that. Amen.
Come and fill this place with your presence. You alone are worthy.
little bit of a change this morning. We're not going to have the scripture reading, so it's my pleasure to introduce my good friend Brandon Nash for our song. Brandon?
Jesus, King of angels, heaven's light. Shine your face upon this house tonight. Let no evil come into my dreams. Light of heaven, and spoke your power to the raging sea, and spoke your mercy to a sinful man. Remind me, Jesus, this is what I am. The universe is vast beyond the stars, but you were mindful when a sparrow falls, and mindful of the anxious thoughts that find me.
I was really determined to get out early today. I had it all planned, man. I was going to get out. I was I was going to be up here to preach, and I was, you know, last week went kind of long. You guys didn't realize that, right? But anyway, so you guys see what time it is, right? Okay. So when you're complaining about my preaching, just remember that, okay? I've already cut things already, so just be praying, okay? I want to say thank you to all the people that were involved last week. Steph and I felt so welcome. And the potluck, and thank you, Wallace's, and everybody involved in making that happen. That was just a great blessing, and we just really do feel at home. And again, I just pray for your prayers as we begin here. When I came to Jesus, it was unbelievable. When Jesus came into my life and I gave my life, I surrendered all to Christ, I experienced joy like I'd never known before. Before I came to Christ, I had no joy. I didn't really know what it meant to have the joy of the Lord in my life. And so I was miserable. Young guy, you think I'd be happy? Man, I had motorcycles and trucks and all kinds of stuff, and you'd think I was happy, but I was miserable. I hated my life. I hated everything about me. I was depressed. I even had suicidal thoughts in my early 20s. But then Jesus came into my life. And the joy that I experienced, it's hard, unless you've been there, you can't understand what I'm talking about. It's just like everything was new. You know, new creatures in Christ, everything was brand new. I experienced this joy that I never knew existed. I mean, the sun shone brighter, I'm telling you. It did. It wasn't hard to get out of bed. I had something to live for. I had a purpose for my life. I experienced joy. By the way, next weekend I'm going to be telling my story. So if you have anybody, I was raised in Adventism. You have anybody, a friend, a kid, somebody doesn't know Christ, bring them next Sabbath. Let the Spirit of God minister to their hearts. And I'll tell you what God did and why I'm here today. Joy, it's incredible, but I've noticed something over the years. I've been Christian for quite a few years now. And I've noticed something over time. It seems like that joy that I had back then slips every once in a while. I begin to ask the question, what has stolen the joy that I had? Where did it go? What is stealing my joy? See, I want to make a proposition to you. I believe that Christians should be the most joyful people on the planet. I better do that again. I believe Christians should be the most joyful people on the planet. People that walk in relationship with Jesus Christ ought to be people of joy. You should be able to see it on their faces. I want joy, don't you? I mean, really, don't you want the joy? A joy that comes from God? Let's pray. Father, today we hunger for that joy again. That joy that comes only from you. That fruit of the Spirit. That miracle joy that fills our life that the world doesn't have a clue about. We're listening to you today in Jesus' name. A preacher was sitting in his office, gets a phone call. He picks up the receiver. The other guy on the other line says, hello, is Joy there? Preacher says, no joy here. Sorry, no joy here, puts the receiver down. The guy calls back again. Are you sure Joy's not there? I mean, this is the address, this is the phone number she gave me. Are you sure Joy's not here? I'm sorry, no joy here. There's no joy here. And he's getting ready to hang up, and the guy says, are you sure? I mean, this is where I was supposed to call. This is the phone number. And the preacher goes, look, man, this is the church. There's no joy here. You know, it's amazing. I'm not really talking to the church as a whole, and I feel joy here in this place. I do. I'm talking about our hearts. Is there joy right here? I mean, are you experiencing joy in your life? I'm not talking about worldly joy and happiness. I am talking about the supernatural joy that comes into our lives every day if we're allowed to happen. The kind of joy that helps us deal with the worst of times in our life. You know, I was, you know, down at Borders. Have you ever been to Borders and you go in and you see the section of all the books on happiness? How many's ever done that? How many's ever gotten? Few of us are honest, right? A little discouraged, you go in, hey, this looks like a good book. I mean, there is tons of them. There's just banks of these things. I was on the internet, and I mean, there are hundreds of books on how to find happiness and joy. 21 ways to find peace and happiness. 9 habits of maximum happiness. I like this one. Happiness for dummies. And the one, and it was everywhere, by the way, the Dalai Lama, they're everywhere. I couldn't believe it because I started to read a few, you know, here and there. And there are 4 secrets from the Dalai Lama that today, if you buy into, you can have happiness. And what was interesting about all those books, of course, was self-help and all these things. But what they're saying, if you mix the formula just right, you will have joy. Like, voila, boom, there it is. So you get the right book, the right formula, you got joy. See, I'm not talking about this temporary worldly happiness that comes and goes according to the circumstances of our life. We're happy when everything's going good. I have a friend, you know, when things are good, oh, praise the Lord, I love the Lord, don't you? When things are going bad and, you know, things are going south, he's always, oh man, where's that God you talk about? I'm not talking about that happiness that's fleeting, that comes and goes according to our state of mind, our emotional makeup. I'm talking about a joy that transcends all of it. That we have joy in good times and bad. That's what I'm talking about today. And so I'm going to talk about some things that actually steal our happiness. Do you realize there are things that are stealing your happiness? They're there and they are eroding the happiness of your heart and your life. 1, distracted by the cares of life. And what I'm saying by that, distracted from your relationship with God by the cares of life. In Luke 21:34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and what? The cares of this life. And that day, the coming of Jesus come upon you unexpectedly. Anybody burdened down with the cares of life? Just a couple of us. But notice what it's saying. Jesus is saying, do not let those things weigh you down so much. Now, most of us aren't out drunkenness and carousing. Most of us are good people here. Most of us make pretty good choices. But the cares of life, the enemy is using this busyness, this stress, this clock that won't stop, that keeps going and going. And it's like a thief that comes in and steals our happiness. See, this is huge. And I talked about this last week. And we don't take it that serious, but this is the number one thief. This is the number one stealer. Because the devil keeps us so busy, so stressed out with the cares of life, you know, paying bills and work and job and kids and, you know, the cycle that goes every single day of every week. And I tell you, it's like joy disappears. Now, I know no one tends to run so hard that they're always exhausted and tired, right? Do you plan to do that? I'm just going to go so hard today that I'm just going to just drop in the bed at the end of the day. No one plans to use up almost every waking moment so you don't have time for God. You have nothing left for God. In Psalm 16:11, it says, in your presence there is what? Fullness of what? Now, I'm looking at some of you here, and you guys can't even smile at me. You're so worried about getting out of 12, you can't even smile. It's amazing. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. See, I want joy, don't you? The joy comes to being in relationship in the presence of God. That's where joy is. So do not expect to have joy if you're never in the Word of God. Don't expect to have joy if you're never on your knees. Not God's joy. You might have a little happiness. Don't expect God's miracle joy unless you are in the presence of God. 1 John 1:1-4, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. And he's talking about fellowshipping with God. He's talking about fellowshipping with the Son. He's talking about fellowshipping with the church. He says that will bring joy to the full. How I deal with this thief? How do you deal with all this busyness, the stress? How I deal with it is I have to discipline. Because it is a thief that's coming every day at you that will steal your joy. And so how I deal with it in my stressful life is I have to discipline. And so guess what? I get up a certain time. I spend so much time with God, so much time in the Word of God. I'm praying, so I discipline every aspect of my life. Because if I don't, the thief will come and take it away, and pretty soon I'm like the average Christian in America that is spending 2 minutes a day in the Word of God. No wonder Christians have all the problems that everybody else has in the world that don't even know Christ. Because we're not experiencing this joy. What is the enemy doing for you to keep you from experiencing his joy? What is he filling your life with? Are you distracted by the cares of life? There is a second thing that will steal your joy, and that is sin. Are you defeated by sin in your life? Now, every one of us has weaknesses. We're all dealing with sin. We're all struggling with sin. But the Bible says that sin will separate us from our God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Our God, our merciful Father, is not a father up there. And by the way, you start talking about sin. And by the way, in the world, there's no sin anymore. You realize that, right? And in the church, you know, guess what? We still believe there's sin out there in the world. But I'm not talking about a father, a heavenly Father that's not merciful. I'm not talking about this guy that wants to condemn you. I am talking about a loving heavenly Father that is merciful. That is about forgiveness and mercy. And about giving us power to overcome these things in our life. Remember David, after his great sin with Bathsheba and so on. After that sin, now he's an adulterer and a murderer. But in Psalms 51, verse 12, it says, restore to me the what? The joy of your salvation. I'm going to tell you something. If you're living in open sin, you can't have joy. Possible. Now, we could be dealing with sins on a daily basis. I understand that and still have joy. You know, we're growing. We're all that. I understand that. But when we start playing games with sin and we start letting the sins begin to creep in the back door of our lives, it will take away, it will steal away the joy of your life. Have you been there? Maybe you're there right now. And so we begin to compromise and play games with it. See, in God's presence, there is forgiveness. Amen? And God, you know, I feel condemned sometimes by my sins, but there is forgiveness in the presence of God. In God's presence, I find that I can overcome and there's power. In God's presence, I find out that I can do what I can't do in my own strength. I find that in God's presence, I can be set free, that I don't have to be defeated by sin, that I can win by the power of God in my life, and I can have joy. It's amazing. When God sets us free, the joy that comes. And so you can see how these things are stealing away your joy. Some of you are saying, boy, that fits my life. That's right. I got sin in my life. I'm not spending time with God. It's no wonder we're not experiencing that joy. The third one is dominated by what others think. Anybody care about what others think? Man, that's huge, isn't it? Man, I'm so tired of what people think of me all the time. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4 and 6, Paul says, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others. I love that, don't you? To not to live, to care always about what people think. You know how you dress, what you live in, what you drive. Aren't you tired of all that stuff? Just to live every day dominated by the thoughts, I'm going to live to please my master. No one is your master. God is your master. You live to please him. You don't need the approval of anybody. Man, it's a hard lesson to learn, especially as a preacher up front of everybody. Every week. And so we compare ourselves with each other. When I was a new Christian, I was a brand new Christian, I was always shy. When you come hear my story, I was shy, I was introverted and quiet. I gave my life to Christ, and a few months later, I was in ministry, and I went to this church. I remember I was in the lobby, and there was all these young people there in a circle, and they're all looking at me, and I saw somebody point at me, and I got really insecure and everything, and then the Spirit of God came upon me at that moment and says, Brent, you don't have to worry. You're a child of God. I heard his voice. I'm telling you. Inside, I heard it. You don't have to worry. I love you. It doesn't matter what they think. You are valuable to me. And all these verses came to my mind about my value and who I was. And I really didn't even care. See, I pray every day that I don't care what you think. I pray that that I will live to please my God and not you. I don't want that thing, that thief, to come in and start stealing away my joy, because I'm so empowered. I give so much power to other people around me, what I think. See, in the presence of God, it keeps my focus on him. And I can look to him for approval. I don't need to look to other people. Are you pleasing people? Let it go. Stop it. Write it down. Stop pleasing people. Ask for God's strength and his power. Get into God's presence, and he will set you free from that stuff. Number four, disabled by fear. And this is another big one, isn't it? Wow, we're so motivated by fear. 1 John 4, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love, God's love, cast out all fear in our life. I am so tired of living my life in fear. Fear of loss. Anybody afraid of loss right now? Your 401k has gone to a 101k. Some of you are afraid of retirement as you get close because, man, I mean, the economy is shaky. Things are out of control. We have never seen what we're seeing today, in our lifetime at least. We haven't seen since the Great Depression what is happening. The unemployment. Some of you are losing jobs. You are afraid. Fear of failure. Anybody afraid to fail? That is such a big one with me. I'm always afraid to fail. I hate that. Get over it, Brent. Come on. You know, it's like a broken record that keeps coming at you every day. See, I got a record of my failures, do you? I got a long list of failures in my life. I can tell you right now, from when I was a kid, when I can remember, every failure, every embarrassing moment in my life, all the way through my life, I still remember it all. And by the way, the devil won't let me forget it. But guess what? I can move on from my fears in relationship with Jesus Christ. And in my weakness, I can be strong. and I can claim promises and find power that His grace is sufficient for me, and I don't have to live in fear. I can remember what God has done for me in the past. I can tell you He's my refuge, my strength, a very present help in trouble. In God's presence, fear disappears, and love fills me up. There's one more. And by the way, there's so many I could put up here. Unforgiveness. I mean, the list goes on and on. But number five is devoid of worship and praise. Do you know how big this is for Seventh-day Adventists? This is absolutely huge. And there's so many Adventists that I know that don't really know how to worship and praise God from a heart full of worship. Now, we come to church, but I'm not talking about worshiping God on Sabbath once a week. I'm talking about people being praise and worship, living these praise and worship every day. There is power in praise and worship, isn't there? Amen. There is power in praise. There is power in worship. Some of you just looking at me, I don't think you know what you're talking about, Brent. Whoops, I didn't read the verse. Can I go back? Psalms 113, from the rising of the sun till it's going down, the name of the Lord is to be praised. We wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for the life that I live. I praise you for everything that I have. Have you tried it lately? Instead of, oh man, another day. Oh, I got to go to work. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. I hate life. Why not get up and praise the Lord once? Thank Him for what He's done. Man, if I took you to third world countries, you would be praising the Lord. If you had to get up in a hut, if you had to eat manure for your fuel, you'd be praising the Lord. If your sewer was people that are using, and the sewer's running 2 feet from your house in your backyard, you'd be praising the Lord for your toilet today. We're so comfortable, it's just embarrassing sometimes. What we complain about, you know what I'm saying? We have things so good. Everybody's talking about how bad America, the economy. We still have things good. We still have things on the table. Sometimes I got to tell you something about praise. Sometimes I just need to sing. I just need to sing. You know what I'm talking about? I just need to sing. I need to find. Now, we all like a little different music, right? I won't tell you what kind I like in case I make you nervous. But I tell you, I love to get praise songs, and I love to crank them up in the car every once in a while and just let her rip. And make a joyful noise to the Lord. You know, by the way, when it comes to joy, God has given us this emotion of joy. I want to go back and read that verse. He will not yet, in Job 8, He will not yet fill your mouth with, I'm sorry, He will yet fill your mouth with laughing and your lips with shouts of joy. With He will fill our hearts with what? Laughter. There's amazing statistics about laughter. The average preschooler laughs or smiles 400 times a day. The number drops to only 15 a day by the time people reach 35 years old. Man, adults are serious, aren't we? Laughter releases endorphins, a chemical 10 times more powerful than pain-relief drug morphine, into the body with the same exhilarating effect as doing strenuous exercise. Every time you have a good hearty laugh, you burn 3.5 calories. Go ahead and laugh. I mean, you're having a hard time. Some of you need to be burning some calories. Laughing increases oxygen intake, thereby replenishing and reinvigorating cells. It also increases the pain threshold, boosts immunity, and and relieves stress. I'm going to tell you something right now. We are too serious. We are just too serious. We're serious. This is a heart attack all the time. Man, it was life. We're just going through life just like clenching our fist. We dry and we die with these deep veins in our foreheads, you know. When are we going to experience the joy and just laugh? When's the time you had a good laugh? Have you laughed all week long? Oh, my wife, we're on the internet looking, you know, stuff like this. And I tell you, we were just cracking up. It was, oh, I wanted to put this laugh from this little baby. It was so good. Do you realize that people are being cured from diseases, terminal illnesses, by just laughing? Remember that guy, Norman Cousins? Remember that? Got all those Charlie Chaplin and Abbott Costello movies and watched him and laughed and laughed every day until, guess what? He was cured of a terminal illness. I want to laugh more. I want to laugh more. You know, it says, not only, you know, I look at joy. Not only does it say the mouth will be filled with laughter, but you will have shouts of joy. When's the last time you shouted for joy? Some of you, never. I would never do that. That's my reputation. What if somebody hears me? I'm sorry. I was loving these verses, you know, because I just don't shout all the time, right? Now, it's amazing. We can go to a ball game. I mean, watch a bunch of idiots watch a football game, you know, and we'll shout. But you know, Bible, have you looked at all the verses on shouting for joy? You know, I want to go read a couple because I'm running out of time, as you know. Psalms 55, verse 11, it says, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you." Psalms 32:2-11. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praises glorious." As I could put, literally, I mean, there's many, many verses. I just have a few, but there are many that we could put up there, and I believe we need to learn to shout for joy. Now, you got to try this. You're really depressed? You're really discouraged? Just start shouting praises who he is and what he's done. Try it sometime. It's amazing what it does. There was a Romanian pastor that was sent to prison for 14 years. His name was Richard Wurmbrand, for preaching the gospel. Could have kept his mouth shut, but he was preaching the gospel. And so they put him in prison for 14 years. They broke four of his vertebrae. They either cut, stabbed, or burnt 18 holes in him. And he said, how I got through it, he says, "Every night I would go to my cell," and this is quote, "alone in my cell, cold, hungry, and rags, I danced and praised before the Lord." I think we need to learn what it means to really praise the Lord. I was going to have you go there in Luke 10. In Luke 10, I was going to have you go to Luke 10, and it's interesting that this is the story where Jesus sends out the 70 disciples. He sends them out to every city he's about to go. He sends them out two by two. So there's 35 teams that are spread to all these cities in Israel. God gives them power. He gives them instruction. He says, "I'm going to give you power over unclean demons, and I'm going to have you heal the sick," and all these things. But verse 17, it says, "When the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name,' they returned with joy." After God used them out there in the harvest, see, just before this, he says, "The harvest was plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers." These guys went out in the name of Jesus and preached. And they went out. They were cast out into the harvest, and they went out. And they went out to serve. And they returned with joy. The greatest joy of my life, or one of them, I should say, is serving, is sharing. And I got to tell you this. I love talking to Adventists. I understand. Yeah, I was raised here, so I know you guys. But my greatest joy is when I go out and I'm preaching, or God is using me to lead somebody who doesn't know Christ to Him. Just about 2 years ago, actually 2.5 years ago, I was in Reno doing meetings. And they actually set me up, and I actually was doing meetings in the casino. Man, it was so cool. I mean, the people came out. We had like 250 plus visitors coming out in this room, just packed this place. And here I'm talking to all these people in the casino, in the Hilton. I tell you, the Spirit of God came on me. It was just powerful, the moments when you have these experiences. The Spirit of God is working. And at the end, man, I wasn't even making altar calls, and people were coming forward at the end, "Will you pray for me?" And I had a line of people every night. People would come up to me, you know, "Will you lead me to Jesus?" Can you imagine that? Those are the greatest moments of my life, when the Spirit of God comes and uses me. See, if our life is selfish and self-centered, that would destroy the joy in your life every time. Self-focus is the joy killer. Service and sharing is joy. My little girl last week says, "Mommy, how come it's so much more fun to give than receive?" Serving and sharing brings joy and power into my life. And getting up here today, guess what? I experienced joy and the presence and the power of God in my life. But verse 20, it says this. It says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written," where? The greatest joy is not being used. The greatest joy isn't what I have done by the power of God. The greatest joy isn't standing up and preaching a sermon or being a pastor or all my accomplishments or anything like that. The greatest joy is knowing that my name is written in heaven. That I'm eternally secure through what Christ has done. And you look at that verse, that's what matters the most. That's what brings me joy, because guess what? This world isn't it. There's more to come. And my name is written in heaven for me. He that has a son has life. And he who does not have a son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. My name's written in heaven. Is yours? My name's there, written down. In heaven. I'm eternally secure in Jesus. And when it all comes right down to it, doesn't matter a bit what I've done. It matters what my God has done. Is your name written in heaven? Do you have the joy of knowing that you are eternally secure Christ? Father, I'm thankful for the joy that you have promised to people like us, that we can experience this inexpressible joy as Peter talks about. This joy that the world doesn't understand, that keeps laughter in our hearts, that keeps joy on our faces, a smile on our lips. God, make this message real for all of us, that it's not just words, but that we will experience your joy. In Jesus' name.
Stand with us, if you would, and sing this. If you want joy.
If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus.
want joy, real joy, wonderful joy. Let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins He'll wash away. Your night He'll turn to day. Your life He'll make it over anew. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy,